Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
It's Haunted Playground right here on the Live Paranormal Radio Network. I'm your host, Sheena Metal. I'm a psychic medium. I'm an interfaith minister. I'm a 27-year talk radio host, and this is Haunted Playground. We're at hauntedplayground.com, liveparanormal.com, and all of our syndicates, iHeartRadio.com, Google Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Podomatic, Player FM, Blog Talk Radio, and the list goes on, and it goes on, and it goes on. That's as much of a list as I have memorized. Every week on the show, I bring you the brightest and loveliest and most beautiful minds in the spiritual and paranormal communities and beyond that. Whether you want to know if there's life after death or you think there's a Loch Ness Monster in your above ground swimming pool, Haunted Playground is the place for you. This week, amazing paranormal investigators, amazing people, amazing friends. You know them all from Discovery Channel's Ghost Lab, of course, my darlings, the Kling brothers, Brad Kling, Barry Kling, and the wonderful Katie Burr are here. It's wonderful to have you all here. Thank you for being here. It's great to have you back. And the last time you guys all did Haunted Playground, you damn near blew up the system because we talked about being aggressive to spirits, and the spirits ended the broadcast, right? So it's great to have you all actually with me this time.
That's just how we roll. We just shut things down like that. So,
that was an interesting thing. I have to tell you, it happened to me again, maybe 2 months ago. I was doing a show with my friend Andrea Perrin, who grew up in the Conjuring house, and she's been on the show with me a gazillion times. And we were talking about a paranormal event that had just happened, where they were kind of trying to, some people were trying to reenact at the Conjuring house, the Conjuring seance. And we were talking about how her mom got so beat up in that house as compared to her dad that nothing happened to. And I was talking about when I grew up in a haunted house as a kid, my mom got so beat up and nothing happened to my dad. We were talking about why is it that spirits are picking on the moms and then all of a sudden, whoop, just out like it was with you guys. And that's the only two times it's ever happened. So clearly there are things the spirits don't like you to discuss. And I personally think we should discuss them anyhow.
As long as you're not afraid of getting beat up.
I mean, it's kind of like this, you know. I think it's personality too. You know, typically, you know, not to be sexist or anything, but males typically have a more intimidating presence. And you know, especially with Barry and I, we kind of have an intimidating presence. We have an intimidating way about us. So that's why. You know, that's why we go head first into a lot of investigations and stuff, because we're not scared, because we think that whatever's there is not going to attach, is not going to harm us. You know, of course, things have attached, things have, you know, hit us and things before, but, you know, we roll the dice.
Yeah, right, of course. And it depends on how scared you are. I mean, it's so funny because I can't speak for Andrea's parents, but I can speak for my own. My mom was way tougher than my dad, and I think that's why they attacked her. I think they made friends with him and attacked her because they considered her, it was a very negative haunting, and they considered her a force of light that needed to be put down. And I think that happens sometimes, right? I mean, it's it just depends on whether you're dealing with positive or negative spirits, right? I always say spirits are like people. Some are great and some are not so great and some are just plain awful. And it just depends on what you encounter. Katie, have you felt that sometimes as a woman you get more attacked, or have you seen in situations where you guys have been investigating that sort of the mom in the house gets it the worst?
I don't know about that, but I was going to say kind of just based on what you just said, you know, ghosts are people, and, you know, you do get, when you get the more negative ones, much like negative people, there are some people out there that just like a challenge, and they just want to see other people go down. So sometimes I think that, you know, when you're in situations like that, you come across, you know, if you're tough and, you know, you like to kind of stand up for yourself and, you know, kind of like a, you know, take no BS attitude, you have these spirits that are like, well, I'm taking you down first kind of thing.
Yeah. We always experimented with that with Katie, you know, so it's like we go rile a place up and then we go stick her down there by herself. So that was our mantra.
And, you know, in situations like that, like there were times that I really got messed with. There were times that, you know, maybe I was getting messed with and didn't realize until later because it was more in, you know, EVP form. But I don't know that, you know, it's kind of weird when I would be around Brad and Barry, I've noticed, and I've had this conversation with them. I almost felt more protected. Like I had less stuff happen to me personally being with them. And I don't know if it's because they don't really get messed with as much. And so me just kind of being in their presence, I was more protected. But like when I would go out on my own, I would have more stuff happen to me directly.
I mean, do you think that it has to do with the fact that, I mean, not to get all, you know, cultural, but that you're dealing with spirits that maybe are 100, 200 or more years old. And maybe during that time period, women were considered to be weaker, right, and easier prey. Like if you're dealing with like a John Wilkes Booth type or, you know, somebody from like the Western days, perhaps, you know, in their ideology, women are a little, you know, more easy prey.
Yeah, there's a lesser respect there for their presence, I guess. And, you know, that is true. But you also have to think of the places that we go. You know, the places that you get messed with the most, and I think that I can speak for, you know, Katie from what our experience, prisons, asylums, you know, kind of like the bad places as it is. So I think
it's
the weaker of the personalities, not that Katie has a weak personality, but I would say the softer, maybe that's a better word, the softer of the personalities might get targeted just a little bit more.
Mm. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's definitely been prisons and asylums that I've had the most stuff happen to me. And we did a lot of those on Ghost Lab. And I think, you know, at the time it just became so normal to kind of be in those places that I wasn't really paying attention to the pattern, but kind of taking a look back, I noticed that those are the times that I had kind of the more negative experiences.
Hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. I also think, like, sometimes in the sense of what I believe happened to my mom in the house I grew up in, that they pick who they think is the leader, right? Like, oh, I'm going to scare the shit out of this one, and then they're definitely leaving this house. So I think sometimes it almost works in the reverse, where they pick out, you know, who they, or also I think sometimes in a family unit, right, a mother can be the heart of the house. So if we can get her to run scared, then maybe everybody else will go with them. In instances when I really do believe there are instances where spirits just want you out of that location, whether it's a house or a place of work or a museum or what it is, they just want you to go because they don't like you there. And I think that's a very normal thing. I don't think it's a negative thing. I mean, I know that there are some people that believe like all spirits are good and all spirits want to help us, and spirits are just reaching out there, you know, they're a little olive branch is in their little spirit hand, and they just want to be besties. But I don't necessarily believe that's true, and I don't think it makes me a negative person to say that. I think some of them are just like, I don't know who you are, but get out of my house yesterday. I mean, do you agree with that, Brad?
Yeah, it's basically who you're dealing with in the population. The population of what, you know, the energies. They're all the same personalities as the people that we deal with right now, you know? So it's like you got the mean ones, the good ones, the quiet ones, the loud ones, and it's no different. And that's kind of how we look at it. I always say if you're an asshole in life, you're an asshole in death. And, you know, that's kind of what we've always dealt with.
Yeah. I mean, I certainly think for spirits that don't cross over or that are still here, they're very much encapsulating their personality of who they were here, right? So they haven't really gone anywhere and learned anything and become more involved. They're just still stuck in this same pattern, but they're not alive. So they're just kind of spiritually spitting in the wind, so to speak, right?
Yeah, and also it could be a matter of free will. You know, Barry and I were just at a lecture we did in a town near here this weekend, and we talked about, you know, free will. If I have free will right now, whatever's driving my body, that spirit, that energy, has the free will to make my body do whatever it wants. Well, when the body's gone,
sure,
the energy still has free will to do whatever it wants, and that could be to hang around this house. It could be to hang around that building or that person or whatever.
Yeah.
All free will.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree. You can't. People always say, well, I'm going to go in and cross them over, and I'm like, oh, well, good for you, because first of all, who asked you? And secondly, they'll cross over, and then, like, you'll leave, and 5 minutes later, they'll be like, ha, 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 and they come back. Like, they, you know what I mean? If they don't want to mess with you, they'll be like, oh, yeah, I'm crossing over, big, scary psychic lady. And then as soon as you're gone, they're right back with a vengeance. So I think for human beings that are saying, oh, I wanted to – I heard somebody say, like, I wanted to a location once, and I crossed over 685 spirits. It's like, okay.
Because they're all taking
all,
a number or something.
Right, exactly, right. Because she could feel how many were there, and she crossed all of them over. And I'm thinking, yeah, first of all, probably never happened. Secondly, if you think it happened, it's probably because they were like, okay, we're crossing over now, ha, 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 you know.
And now serving number 347.
Exactly, exactly. They have free will. They can do what they want. They don't have to listen to us, you know, any more than, you know.
That,
I'm sorry, Katie?
I'm like, where's the proof in it? Like, how can you prove that you actually crossed the spirit over?
Right. Yeah, that's the thing, right? I don't know. I just think there's such an arrogance in it. When I go into a location as a medium and I'm looking to find out who's there and have a conversation with them, it never occurs to me to try to cross them over, because one, it's just not my business. And because everybody's got to follow their own path, right? They have to decide when it's time to cross over. I think this idea that all spirits are stuck and they can't get away is just that sort of a human ideology, right? Humans are fearful of being stuck. So we like the idea that maybe spirits are stuck, like, because, you know, humans are always talking about, I'm so stuck in my life. Like, a spirit is stuck in its life. I mean, it's not really like that. And a lot of times, from what I have, the messages I've been given psychically, they do die and cross and go home. But sometimes they just want to come back and cause trouble, or come back and see a loved one, or come back and try and help somebody. They're not, like, locked out of the afterlife, and they're not, like, all confused and don't know what to do. When you die, you have more knowledge and more of a 360 perspective than we do when we're inhabiting our monkey suits. The idea that you would die and then suddenly not know what to do, it's kind of strange, don't you think, that all these spirits are stuck? I mean, I'm sure there's some that just refuse to go, but for the most part, I think they're right where they need to. They're right where they want to be, and they know what they're doing.
And not all spirits are like what we believe in are like an actual invisible person that can interact with you. I think the majority of paranormal activity is natural causes. It fits, you know, science theories and laws. Of course, you do have the intelligent ones that, like you said, could be in some realm or whatever, but I think the majority of stuff that we usually deal with has some sort of, I wouldn't say explanation, but we can put some sort of laws or scientific reasoning behind. So not, you know, a lot of people believe that a ghost is just that, you know, it's a person that can interact with you, and you can talk to them, you can cross them over, you can not cross them over. But I think most activity is not that. I think that's a small portion of the activity out there. I think most of it is residual. People call it residual, you know, whatever. It's more of a natural phenomenon, other than an invisible person.
Or going a little bit further, it's the natural phenomenon or like the interdimensional stuff, like you start getting into quantum physics and multiple universes.
Sure.
And and then then your mind's, but boy, we love talking about that stuff though. Woo, we love talking about it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, me too. I love that stuff. That's so true. And that's the thing, not every ghost, not every spirit that you encounter, right, or every energy or entity or whatever you want to call it that you encounter is necessarily a ghost of somebody who died, right? Sometimes it's a whole different thing. Sometimes it's an interdimensional, like you said, or an earth spirit, right? Something that's been here longer than even human beings have been here. You start messing with that, sometimes you'll get slapped upside the head, right?
Yeah, and one person that was at our seminar this week, and they asked that question. They said, you know, you categorize these things, all your evidence that you're showing as, we think this is residual, we think this is interdimensional, we think this is intelligent. It's like, how do you determine that? And it's like, well, we determine it based on experience. That, you know, what we're determining kind of comes from the inside, because you can't ignore your brain and your heart. Is what you feel like something is. If you get a voice and you feel like it's talking to you, feel like it's answering a question, or you feel that something is seeing you from another dimension, you know, you make those judgments based on your experience. And, you know, experience is different for everybody.
Well, and to say something's intelligent, I mean, it's kind of, you know, like what you guys were saying. It's just because something's intelligent doesn't mean it's dead. Like, you could be interacting with something from another dimension or some situation. All you know is it's answering you, and you can say, like, this is, you know, this is an intelligent being that I'm interacting with.
One of the most interesting conversations I had with someone one time is I was doing a documentary on the black-eyed kids. You know, there's a phenomenon with that. We didn't have to do the black-eyed kids. We went to NASA in Houston and the Johnson Space Center, and we did some filming around there, and we interviewed some people. And one of the security guards there said that they had a lot of activity where they housed the moon rocks. Where they, when they, you know, went up to the moon, they brought moon rocks back. They housed them in a specific facility there, and they said they see shadow people in there all the time. And it got me wondering, it's like, you know, how much of this stuff, you know, like we're attributing to ghosts, like shadow people or things like that. What if those are alien life forms? I mean, I know we're going into a little bit different subject, but it's something that you have to consider.
All the
same. It's the paranormal.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. I mean, I don't know if we've talked about this, but I went to Joshua Tree to do a documentary with a bunch of ufologists and UFO enthusiasts to look for off-worlders in Joshua Tree. But honest to God, are there off-worlders out there? Well, sure. But are there Earth spirits? Yeah. Are there interdimensionals? I think there were more Earth spirits and more interdimensionals than any off-worlders we saw, because we were out so far down a dirt road that there was like nothing. There was no natural light. So when the lights were off, it was all skylight. And yeah, do you see the satellites? Sure. Do you see ships? Yeah. But God, what was on the ground was mostly earth spirits and interdimensional stuff, because there's hardly any people there to mess with them. And they can just kind of roam the earth the way they did before we inhabited it, you know? Just kind of doing their thing. And so I think, yeah, you have to think about that that's a lot of stuff. And do you think that, what do you think the black-eyed kids are? It's such a weird thing, right?
Well, yeah, and we did a lot. We actually had some weird experiences happen to us regarding that. Really think that, and we took it from a couple of different aspects. We said, could it be alien? Could it be like alien hybrids or whatever? That was one.
Sure.
Two,
sure.
could it be like some sort of demonic, you know, bad spirit or spirits? Or three,
sure.
Could it be, what was the third one? There was demonic, or could it be, oh, hell. I think we just took those two angles. It's been a while since the documentary. But, you know, we had to look at it from all these different angles to see, and then talk to people who had different experiences and see what their experiences were, you know, to kind of make a conclusion as to what it could possibly be. We talked to religious people, and we talked to NASA and MUFON people, and we talked to people who had the experiences who just think that they're, you know, they're out, you know, they're out to steal souls, and we talked to a wide variety. My personal opinion, based on the things that we heard, I do believe that if these things do exist, they are some sort of hybrid life form that are that's basically just trying to study humans. And it's all the stories you hear, they're very awkward. They ask questions or they speak in a very, like, not proper English type way.
Yes.
And they're very awkward. They say dumb things, and but they're always trying to, you know, get integrated into whatever is going on. So, yeah, I say if they do exist, and when I say if they do exist, we're up in Central Texas at a library. We were interviewing a psychic, because we showed them a picture and said, "What do you think of this?" And we showed a picture of not a black-eyed kid, but just a person who had the experience. And he came up with this whole thing about something's trying to attack him. And so it was pretty weird. But as we were leaving, there were these kids, and I swear to you, they had a hoodie on. Two of them, they had a hoodie on, and they were in the library. But the library was closed because we were in there after it closed. And they were walking. You could see them pass through the bookshelves and stuff like that. It was weird. But when we left, all of a sudden they were on a street corner that was like a mile away. And they watched us the entire time as we left. It was very, very weird. But they fit the description of these black-eyed kids.
Yeah, I had that happen once. It wasn't a kid, but I was on the Queen Mary with Chip Coffee and some mutual friends. And we were sitting out on the promenade, and this, like, weird fog came in, which is, you know, not that weird. I grew up in that area. I grew up very close to where the Queen Mary is parked. And this fog comes in. It totally covers the promenade deck, right? There's, like, and then all of a sudden this guy appears, and he's so weird, and he has this big, giant, like, black mastiff that literally looks like a hellhound. And he's young and dark-haired in this hoodie, and he's just, like, standing there with this glass of wine, and he, like, focuses in on Chip, and he's like, "So what are you doing here?" And, you know, Chip didn't really want to say, we didn't want to say what we're doing there. We were there for the Paracon, right? And he's like, "Oh, you know, we're just hanging out and spend time with friends." And he's like, "Oh." So I said to him, "So do they allow dogs on the Queen Mary?" Because last time I checked, they didn't. I didn't say that second part. I said, "So do they allow dogs on the Queen Mary?" He's like, "Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's not a problem at all. They encouraged me to bring them." This dog was like 150 pounds. I mean, it was like a horse. So then I said, so what are you doing?" He's like, "Oh, yeah, I was at this wedding, and I was just drinking a little champagne." The guy was in a sweatsuit. Like, he was not at a wedding. And he had this hoodie pulled up. And then he, like, looks right over at Chip, and he says, "So do you do black magic? Do you like demonic rituals?" And, like, so right now I'm like, "Oh, my God, you know what? They just texted us. They need us downstairs." And I'm, like, pulling people away, and because I started getting defensive. There was something very wrong with this guy. And finally we got Chip out of there, and we got everybody out of there, and we finished whatever we did. And then Chip texts me that night, and he's like, "What was that?" And I'm like, right? Something was so wrong with that guy. And I think sometimes when you see someone who's human, they're maybe not. Maybe they weren't to begin with, or maybe somebody has had someone step into them. But there was something so very wrong with this guy, and I always think about that. And as soon as he disappeared off the deck, the fog left, and then we never saw him again. So whatever big, like, wedding for the weekend was going on, we never saw this guy again. And the Queen Mary is not one of those things where there's a lot of people on it at a time usually. So it's not a big ship. It's not like a cruise ship anymore. It's a tiny cruise ship from olden days. So you run into people all the time at the restaurants or wherever. We never saw this guy again. And I don't think he was – I think he just appeared, right? And I think that's the same thing with the black-eyed kids. They just appear, right? One minute they're not there, and then the next minute they are. And I think there's probably more of that on the earth than we even talk about or give credit to, you know?
We had that at the Black Swan Inn, Brad, remember? We were investigating that guy.
Yeah, that's right.
same situation. I can't remember the whole story, but we're at a place in San Antonio called the Black Swan Inn, and we were doing an event and some investigation, and this guy came to the door, just knocked on the door, and he just sat there and just kind of looked at everybody. I don't even think he really said anything. He just looked at people and asked if we could help him. He didn't really say much, and we all of a sudden we turn around and he's gone. I mean, like gone. Like this is a big property.
Yeah.
It's like he just disappeared. It's like, who was that? You know,
he couldn't just disappear on the property. You would have to see him somewhere.
Yeah.
I
right.
forgot about that. Actually.
Right.
Maybe that's the thing, because I think sometimes they're just checking us out. They're just who they are. That I'm not 100% sure. But there, I think there's many theys. I think off-worlders are a they. I think interdimensionals are a they. I think sometimes darkness is a they. These things just show up, and they just want to know what you're up to and who they can maybe tap into somebody's energy and get something from. And,
he was actually the president of Coffee Stain Club.
Did you ask the Queen Mary staff if they ever allowed someone on there with a giant dog?
Yeah, they said, of course, no, never. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, I grew up two towns over from the Queen Mary. I've never seen an animal on the Queen Mary before. Now, if you were a lady that wanted to bring your chihuahua in a purse, maybe they would make an exception, or you have a seeing eye dog. I'm sure they would make an exception. But to let somebody bring like this giant, you know, 150-pound mastiff, and the dog had the weirdest energy. The dog, and that's what Chip and I were talking about afterwards. We're like, we're worried about that dog, because the dog just seems so unhappy with this guy. And that always is the first thing, even if it's a living person, right? If your animals look uncomfortable around you, I doubt you. So, yeah, and I think that kind of thing just happens. And I do think there's all different things that it can be, right? I don't think that was a spirit, but I certainly do think that it very well could have not been a 100% human person. What do you guys think about, because I'm hearing about this, I'm sorry, you go first.
He was the president of Chip Coffee Fan Club. He was the only member.
He was the president of the Chip Coffee Fan Club. Yeah, no, there's a lot of people in the Chip Coffee Fan Club, but he definitely, he was the darkest member. Tell me what you think. What do you think that the Hat Man lore is? Because more and more, I'm hearing from clients of mine about they have a Hat Man, but they don't even really know what it is. They just know this thing has followed them their whole life. What do you all think Hat Man is? Katie, do you have an opinion on Hat Man?
I actually am not familiar with this.
So I am a bit. You're talking about this is like a shadow-like being, right, that looks like it has this giant brim hat on. Is that what you're talking about?
Some kind of hat. Yeah, people see them in all different. They see them in, like, top hats. Sometimes they're in a three-point. Sometimes they're in a fedora. Sometimes it's a bowler hat or a Panama hat. Like, it's all different kinds of hats. And always in black, always in a black suit, and oftentimes with a black coat over the suit, usually standing somewhere in the corner of a room staring at you, oftentimes in your bedroom in the middle of the night. But sometimes people see them out of the house as well. My mom had one, and she the first time saw him in a park when she lived in Kentucky. And then after my grandparents adopted her in upstate New York, the first night she was in the new house, and the month after that, he was up three stories high in a tree laughing outside her window and flicking his legs back and forth in the tree. So it's people do see them outside. A client of mine just saw one in a car a couple days ago. That's what made me think about Hat Man. But it tends to follow a person throughout their life.
So it's just basically a shadow figure. A shadow figure that has more of a... Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it has a full form. It looks like a full-on guy in a suit staring in a corner. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
kids tend to
pick them up when they're little.
Well, because I had something in my house at one point that I brought home, and it was a shadow figure, but I remember that I associated it with being a man just because it
I mean, I briefly saw it, but whatever in my mind processed that it was a guy, because it did have more of like a human form to it, but I just associated it with just being a shadow figure. But it sounds kind of like what you guys are talking about.
Yeah. What do you think?
I don't know if it's something, if it's something that people manifest, you know, themselves. It's like, you know, a lot of times, you know, people's own fear can actually manifest real things that other people can experience. And maybe the lore, you know, people talking about it, if it gets on your mind, you think Hat Man, maybe they can actually project that. And maybe it's being caused by the people themselves. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I do know that, you know, we've experienced shadow people all the time. I can't remember a case where a shadow person that we saw had a hat on, to be honest with you. So I guess.
Yeah, you have not encountered Hat Man. There's interesting. There's like documentaries about Hat Man. I mean, it's a thing. And I never became that. It always kind of freaked me out. I always thought, oh my God, that's so freaky. But then when I found out my mom had one, which I didn't find out until much later in her life, both times, I believe, I know the second time for sure. I knew about the first encounter. I don't know when she told me, but I never knew about the guy in the tree until she was doing the show before she died, a couple of years before she died. And she just came right out and told the story. And I'm like on the air gobsmacked because I thought I knew all my mom's stories and I had no idea. And basically, my theory about Hat Man is that they're attracted to kids with gifts, because most of the people I know that have seen them have some kind of psychic gifts. I think they're attracted to kids with gifts and they want to know like what's going on with them and what are they going to do and what's going to happen with them. And I don't know that I think they're light or dark. I think a lot of interdimensionals just are. I don't know if they're necessarily negative. I think they just kind of resonate and in a place that makes them a little creepy. I mean, do you agree with that, Barry?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a guy falling around with a top hat on. I mean, that's pretty creepy. like you said, when you said image, I immediately think of the priest or the preacher on
Poltergeist 2.
Poltergeist 2, where the preacher's walking around saying, "Y'all gonna die in there."
Yes.
That's the guy I kind of think about.
Yeah,
it's funny, y'all.
Yeah.
Hat Man. It seems like we never experienced Hat Man, but we seem to experience Hat Man's cousin, Underwear Man, seems to follow us around in some of these odd places. We get the freaks of the paranormal following us.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I guess if you're in the business,
if you're in the business,
the
ghosts, the freaks come out for you.
You talk about Hat Man seems to follow people with gifts or whatever, but I think maybe even if you're in the biz, I guess if you're in the paranormal,
sure.
Kind of exposed to it a lot. Maybe you're just open to more things, I guess. Maybe, you know, kind of closed minded. Maybe you don't see things like that. Maybe it's always all around us, and you got to have that open mind to be able to see things. And maybe that's why you're seeing it.
Right.
Well,
right.
I was gonna say, I don't know. I mean, obviously, I'm just familiar with this, you know, concept, this Hat Man, the stories and whatnot. So, you know, obviously maybe me not hearing it, I don't know, but it sounds to me kind of like, you know, like with us, we see shadow people all the time. So that's why, you know, like the thing that I saw, it didn't faze me as being any different from any other shadow person, because we've seen all different variations of it. But if I imagine, you know, I'm someone that's not in this business, that isn't around this stuff all the time, it's going to be this very unique and special experience if I suddenly see this man sitting in the corner of my room and he happens to look like a man with a hat on. It's, you know, I'm going to make this association. Oh, that's Hat Man. And, you know, that's kind of what he's going to be for like the rest of my life. But, you know, somebody like us, we see this stuff all the time. So it's just, oh, it's a shadow figure. So I don't know, like, you know, if it's just something that people kind of created this story around. Or if there's actually more to it that I just am not familiar with.
Yeah, like Kate's saying, it's like you know, if we've never heard of Hat Man, if you never brought it up, we would have never probably seen a Hat Man. But are the people who hear about Hat Man the ones that see it? Like, do they hear about it first and then see it? You have to notate a lot of that.
Like,
stuff. It's researching it.
Right. Now are you going to see 27 Hat Men this week?
Somebody's experienced this, like, you know, they call it Hat Man because they saw it, and then they, you know, their friend tells them, hey, I saw this shadowy guy, you know, that was in the corner or whatever, and then he's like, oh, well, did he have a hat on? You know, oh, that's Hat Man, and it just becomes this kind of story that gets spread around. I don't know.
Right, maybe, yeah. I mean, I it's interesting that the only reason that I would say maybe not is that my mom had no idea what it was. I mean, she saw the first one in, like, 1938, and the second one in, like, 1945. I have so many clients that come to me, and they don't know what it is. They don't say, is it Hat Man? Because obviously, like you said, you kind of have to be in the paranormal know, maybe, to know about Hat Man. They'll just say, like, this spirit has been following me in my bedroom since I was little, and this is what he looks like. And I always wonder, like, is there a Hat Man planet? Like, if you go to the dimension where Hat Man lives, does everyone have a black suit? Does everyone have to wear a hat? Or is that just what they think their human costume is? You know, like I'll give you an example. My mom saw an off-worlder while I was one. We were living in Connecticut. My mom was in the laundry room, and she turned around, and there was a guy. And he had on jeans and white tennis shoes and a red plaid shirt. He had blonde curly hair, really, really light, big blue eyes. And she said, what are you doing in my house? And he disappeared. So she did what, you know, anybody in the 60s would do when that happened. She went to a therapist. And he gave her some weird pseudo-sexual psychobabble about what that represented. And the laundry room in the basement represented her loins and all this other crazy stuff. And, of course, she never went back to him. So 5 years later, we're living in Chicago, and my mom picks up the paper. And there's a story in the paper about these people were having a party, and this man showed up in their kitchen, dressed exactly the same description. The wife goes and tells the husband, no one knows who this guy is. You have to tell him to go. And he walks into the kitchen and says to the guy, this is our party, and you're not invited. Why are you here? And the guy disappeared right in front of his face. And my mom said that was when she knew that what she had seen was real. So is that, she always believed that that was like an alien hybrid or a watcher or somebody who was there just to observe. And maybe that's what he thought his human costume was supposed to look like. All humans wear a plaid shirt and jeans and white tennis shoes. Maybe in the Hat Man planet, they're like, oh, nobody will know we're not real. If we go to Earth and we wear our black suit and our top hats, do you know what I mean? I don't know. It's just a theory.
Yeah, and
think that's...
And is it actually like a physical top hat, or is it the shape of? Because going back to what I was talking about, and goes what you're talking about, if something is interdimensional, if something is interplanetary or whatever, and it has just a particular shape, our human eye is going to try to personify it, or they're going to try to make sense of what we know. So if it looks like something
sure,
with a hat on, it's just the shape of their head. You know, maybe they are real beings that are hanging around.
Yeah.
And that's just the shape
and
of their head.
Looks like
it looks like
a hat.
So we say, they look like they're wearing hats. You know, it could be like
hundred
different things. I want to see one now.
I don't. I'm putting it out there. I don't ever want to see one. I don't want my moms to visit me. And because there is a little bit of a strange malevolence to them in a way. The one my mom saw, she saw in a park in Louisville when she was five, and it walked over to her and opened up its coat, and it had, like, children in its coat. And so, you know, she never thought of it. I think once when, years later, when she was in an orphanage, she might have told one of the social workers about it. So then when she was 12, she gets adopted, right? Literally gets adopted. The social worker comes to her school and says, put this dress on, you've been adopted, and literally sticks her on a train. It was no, like, warning or anything. She gets in to upstate New York, where my grandparents lived, in this big sort of palatial property. And her bedroom's on the third floor of this big old house built, like, in the 1700s. And she looks out the window, and there he is. And he's sitting in the tree outside of her window, swinging his legs back and forth and just laughing his ass off, literally every day for the first month she was there. So there is a weirdness to them, kind of like Mothman, right? I don't know that I would say that Mothman is necessarily an evil entity, but there certainly is sort of a shit-startery little element to Mothman, right? That it kind of comes and laughs at you. Guess what? Something's going to happen, and but it's like a riddle. And then the next thing you know, something explodes or a bridge crashes or the tunnel collapses or whatever the story is.
To me, it sounds more like a kind of a mythical, like almost like a leprechaun or a banshee or a,
right.
you know, or a troll or you know, some sort of thing like that. That's it's just some sort of weird being that only certain people can see. I don't know, but like you know,
yeah,
you compare,
I love
like
that you
the
just
men,
said
the
troll.
Men in Black, you know, like the movie Men in Black, where these
right.
people showed up and you know something like that. I don't know. It just sounds strange. Like I said, I'm with Kay. I've never heard of it before, ever, until you mentioned it. So I'd
wow.
be, is it geographical? Is it like your mom's had it,
no.
you know, all the way across the country? You know,
it,
I mean, I don't know.
Right.
I, like
it
I've never heard of that.
With her. No, but because I think people tell stories of seeing them in their rooms, in their homes, and then they move somewhere else and it comes with them. So it's not the kind of spirit attachment that is attached to a place. It's definitely attached to people and travels with people.
I don't know why, but I keep thinking of like the picture of Jake Elwood from the Blues Brothers looking at me in my bedroom or something. Hat Man.
Exactly, right? Right. It's the Hat Man, the Blues Brothers were just actually two Hat Men that were like extremely talented musically. Yeah, it's I can't believe you've never heard of Hat Man. I bet there are people that haven't heard of Black Eyed Kids until today.
Yeah, this, yeah, same thing. Same thing, yeah.
I think as you – or the White Lady, right? The White Lady in the Cemeteries. What do you think about her?
I think there's a White Lady in the Cemetery everywhere. Every – probably a small town across America has a White Lady in the Cemetery. I think a lot of it
– Yeah.
It's just like the – like the ghost tracks here in San Antonio, total made up story, not real, but I've heard about five or six other ghost track stories. Some involve railroad tracks, some involve other things, some involve a bridge, same principle, same story. It's just these folk tales just get told and told and told and told, and now they're all over the country, and they just make them kind of fit their geographical area. Now you have a ghost story. So I just, you know.
Okay.
Maybe Hatman
okay,
the
so
same way.
That,
I don't know. Maybe have him turn it real, and then he became the folklore thing and spread like wildfire everywhere. But he did start as real. He is real.
Right.
The mom really did see
yeah.
him. But from
yeah,
that,
she did see him.
Wildfire happened, and then just the story just got bigger and bigger and bigger. Now everybody sees Hatman. So I don't know. It's kind of like Slender
yeah.
Man. Or
I think
those
that's possible, too.
Well, that's kind
yeah,
of like I was saying,
isn't
you know,
it?
If it's, you know, you have these real stories that actually did happen, but then somebody will hear a story. It's like the game of telephone. You know, like somebody will hear a story, and they're like, oh, that's kind of like this thing that I saw. And, like, you know, obviously it's a personal experience. You can't really, truly compare your personal experience with another one that somebody's had that, like, wasn't documented. You don't have photos of it. You know, so it's just basically your experience versus somebody else's. And we as humans love to make associations and kind of make sense of things and put things in neat little boxes. So, you know, if you hear a story that
yeah.
sounds like something you experienced, then you're like, oh, it must be the same thing.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you 100%. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's interesting. Well, it's like, but there are like these lores, right? Like that have come from that probably people in the 1700s saw Hat Man. He just wore the three-point hat that was popular then, the same way that the hag legend, right? People have seen that their whole lives. And I think sometimes there is truth rooted in folklore, sometimes not, but sometimes there is. I mean, sometimes it comes from, you know, something that somebody has encountered paranormally and they didn't know how to – there weren't places to come out and talk about paranormal stuff then, so it became like a quote-unquote legend of something, right?
Yeah, it's totally based on your cultural upbringing and religion and, it's all based on that, how you perceive things. So, like, and down here in South Texas, there's a large Hispanic culture down here, and they're very superstitious, and they're very, they have all their story, like, you know, La Llorona and Malachusa and all these different spirits and banshees and things like that. So it's, I think it's the culture. It has a big part in folklore, for sure. Native American stuff.
Right. Well, and I'm Irish, and there's huge folklore that comes. My mama used to always say, every Irishman has one foot in a fairy garden, right? There's huge folklore that comes. It's part of our makeup.
Right.
But we're Irish, so we believe it's all real. That's the difference. We think it's, I don't think any of it's folklore. I think all of it's real. But that's me. Maybe that's how I wound up working in this world. You know what I mean? I was meant.
Well,
so
that was your upbringing.
You guys, so each one of you, what have you always wanted to encounter paranormally and maybe have not yet? Barry, how about you? What do you want to see?
I don't know. I mean, I've only seen a few apparitions in my life. So I guess I can cross that off my bucket list. I'm really big in, like things that defy the law of physics, like, you know, floating objects or moving objects or things like that. So I've seen a few. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've seen a few on, you know, we've caught on camera. But, like, to really experience something that's, like, literally your jaws on the ground. We had one experience one time where we had Brad and I were at this house in San Antonio, and we're sitting there on the couch and we're just BSing and talking, and Hector's in there with us, and the huge hanging blinds are on this back door, back patio door. They just started shaking like violently, like someone was tangled in them. And all we could do is just sit there with our mouth on the ground and just gasped at what was going on. We didn't capture on film. We didn't, nothing. But it was like probably the most profound thing I think I've ever seen. So I'm big on that, like seeing things defy the law of physics. So I think that's what I'm after.
Yeah, that's awesome. Brad, how about you?
I think... That's a tough question. I've kind of experienced some major stuff. I would like to see, actually, let me turn it back. I'd like to actually experience something like, this is going to sound funny, but we've done an investigation. It was actually one of the Ghost Lab episodes. And one of the people said, and they swore to this, that this fog came in and they actually levitated and floated across the house.
The
feeling of something to actually lift me up and like toss me across the room or levitate me or float me or something like that. I know that's a long shot and it's probably never going to happen, but if I had to pick one, that would be it. In fact, I always tell that the story. I said, you know, shoot, I'd like someone to pick me up and toss me across the room as long as someone's got a camera on it and videotaping it.
I love
that. It's funny.
I think
you
that's
say
awesome.
That's like the last thing that I want to happen to me, because you just described dreams that I've had. I've literally had dreams where there's a ghost, spirit, something, some invisible presence in the room that it's straight up like Paranormal Activity, where I'm getting launched up into the corner and stuck in the corner up by the ceiling, and I'm just stuck there. And it's the scariest thing that I've experienced. Like, those dreams have been really real for me. And I can't imagine that happening in real life, if that's even a possibility.
Bring it. Bring it, baby.
Yeah.
Do it to Brad.
I want to see something spontaneously catch on fire. I've heard stories of people that were at seances and things, and something just spontaneously caught on fire. I want to see that. Is that crazy?
I'll tell you one thing, Sheena, that Barry and I had this experience not too long ago. We went up and did an event, and they were doing table tipping. You ever heard of table tipping?
Yes, I've done that. Sure, yeah, uh-huh.
And I kid you not, it happened, and we could not explain it. Yep. We could not explain it. That table that we were sitting at started to thump and actually tilted the one, and we were not touching it. We looked at that thing. It wasn't a trick table. It wasn't anything. We still can't explain it. And we went
and
going.
It was me and Brad on it. It was me and you on it that no one else could be manipulating it. We were on it ourselves.
Right.
And we were there to debunk it. We were like, oh, this is all bull crap. But it is real. The table was floating off the ground, and we weren't even touching it.
Mm.
So I guess I have. I've met my dream. I did see a table float. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I love table tipping. I think it's a lot of fun. It's very interesting. It's awesome. You guys are fantastic, and I love having you here. Let's do this again soon. What do you think?
Yeah, we're anytime.
Where can people find you online? Each of you, Katie, you first.
You can find all of us at, we have our Facebook page, Everyday Paranormal on Facebook, and then Instagram page, Everyday Paranormal Official. I have Katie Burr Official is my Instagram, and Barry, what's your handle, Barry?
This is Barry Clink. I have no idea. I'm never on Instagram.
This is Barry Clink. Brad.
Mr. Social Media.
Yeah, just go to the Everyday Paranormal. And you guys have a new show, and you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, we got a huge show. It's called Everyday Paranormal, the podcast, and we've been doing it since our first show came out Halloween, this past Halloween, and it is growing in numbers like gangbusters. And so you can find that everywhere, you know, Spotify and Apple Podcasts and everything you mentioned on your show, all those platforms is where you can find it. And we also have a new one that came out. It's called Ominous. And it's with our common friend, Deborah Wilson, is our narrator on it.
I love my Deborah.
It just came out Sunday, and it's doing well. So that's probably what we're doing the most of is our podcast.
Awesome. I love that story. Thank you for being here. Let's do this again soon. I adore you, and I appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody from the mainstays of the Everyday Paranormal group, and all three of you are doing the podcast together?
Yep.
Yes. Yep.
I love that story. Katie Burr, Barry Kling, Brad Kling, wonderful to have you all here. Thank you for being here. Such a joy. Everybody, thanks for listening to Haunted Playground. If you missed anything on Everyday Paranormal, you can go to my website and get their information, SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. That's SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. Find me on social media everywhere at Sheena Metal. That's every platform, just at Sheena Metal. And, of course, here every Wednesday at 5 o'clock Pacific time, liveparanormal.com, hauntedplayground.com, and all of our wonderful affiliates, including the amazing iHeartRadio.com. Till I see you next time, seek peace, live in love, lead with kindness, embrace unity, always raise your vibration. I love you all so much, and I'll see you soon.